4 verse 18 and we're going to get started. Woo! How many people ready for the word? The Bible says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Father, we pray that you had a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the preaching of your most holy word. Add an anointing to the proclamation of your gospel and your truth. Bless us, bind the enemy out. Let nothing steal this word. Hedge us in to yourself. And let us come out of here better people, God. Save the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been in chapter 3, amen, and chapter 4, moving along in the book of Acts. And if you remember, Peter and John were going to the temple to do what? Anybody know? To pray. Oh, that's right. Not all at one time now, y'all. They were going to pray. The Bible says they saw a lame man, lame from his mother's womb, sitting at the beautiful gate asking for a donation. Hallelujah. Peter and John say, silver and gold have we none, but what we have we give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. He was healed instantly, leaping and jumping and shouting and praising God. The people saw it, so they began to congregate, and they all came together, and Peter started preaching. Peter preached the cross, he preached the gospel, he preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Bible says around 5,000 people were saved in one sermon. In chapter 4, 1, the priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon Peter and John and apprehended them, took them into custody and brought them to jail. The next morning, Peter and John found themselves in front of the Sanhedrin, the most powerful group of men in Israel. They asked them two questions: by what power and by what name? The Bible told us by what power Peter and John were filled with the Spirit. The Bible told us by what name Peter began to preach in the name of Jesus. For there's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And Peter preached that. And they saw the boldness of Peter and took knowledge that they had been with Jesus, and saw that they were unlearned and ignorant men, uneducated, unprofessional, not good for anything but fishing at the most. But they had learned, even though that they were, hallelujah, ignorant and unlearned, they had learned that they had been with Jesus. And anytime you spend time with Jesus, woo, Jesus will turn an ordinary man or woman to an extraordinary man or woman. Amen. Woo. And after Peter and John spoke, the Bible says they could say nothing, especially as they were beholding the man standing with them, the miracle, the evidence. They couldn't say anything. And so they put Peter and John out, amen, put them out the Sanhedrin. And they asked the question, they said, what shall we do with these men? Behold, a notable miracle has been done. What can we do? You see? They say that the power of God is with them. A notable miracle has been done, but that it spread no further. We still going to fight it. That it spread no further. Even though the power of God is with it, even though it's consistent with Scripture, that it spread no further. You know, we're going to try to stop it. And this morning we pick up in verse 18. The title of this message is going to be Whether It Be Right. And we'll have 3 points. Number one, command them. Number two, whether it be right. And number three, for we cannot but speak. And I pray that God will be with us so that we can move through it, amen, and effectively deliver the whole counsel of God. Let's begin with our first point, Philly. Commanded them. The Bible says in 4:18, and they called them, that's Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says they commanded them. And we can stop at the them. The Sanhedrin called the disciples back and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Now we need to understand something, Philly. that the Sanhedrin was the governing body over all of Israel. That was their job. Amen. They governed all of Israel. It would kind of be synonymous to we being pulled in front of the Senate, the U.S. Senate, or the Congress of the United States, or being pulled before, amen, the Supreme Court with the president there. That's how the Sanhedrin was. So their government was giving them a command. And God dropped something on my spirit right then and there. We need to understand as Christians, it is important for us that we realize, according to the Bible, we must follow the laws of the land. Anybody? See, I got a couple of amens, all right? The Bible teaches us that Christians must follow the laws of the land. And it tells us this in Romans 13, verse 1. Look what it says. Let every soul be subject unto what? Unto the higher powers. This means that every Christian, every person, must yield, subject, obey, be subject, submit, be subject, unto what? The higher powers. Now the higher powers, amen, people look at that, they say, oh, that's God. No, that's not God. That's not God. That's the government. That's the government. That's your city government, that's your state government, and that's your federal government. Hallelujah. And God is saying that every soul must be subject unto the higher powers. So if the government tell you to do something and they got a law in the book, you got to obey that law to be a Christian of the scripture. Somebody say amen or say ouch. Hey, God. All right. The Bible says in verse 13, 1, for there is no power but of God. All right. So God is saying that, hallelujah, in the universe, he is the one that power belongs to. That's what the Old Testament says. Power belongs to God. And God distributes, lends out his power. For there is no power but of God. Hallelujah. The powers that be are what? Ordained of God. So God has all the power, all the authority. And anytime you see an authority rise up, it's because God has ordained, chosen, raised up that power, lent some of his power and authority to governments. Are you listening to me here this morning? So a lot of people, anti-government, anti-police, anti-president, anti-state, amen. But what you don't know is that God is the real power behind those institutions of men. Anybody hear me up in here? You can't be a good Christian without following the laws of the land. All right? The Bible says in 13:2. Whosoever therefore resisted the power. We're talking about government again. And the Bible is saying if you resist, if you rebel, if you oppose, if you disobey governmental authority and power, look what the Bible says, who you're really resisting. Whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted what? The ordinance of God. You're really disobeying, rebelling, and opposing God when you oppose the governments that God set up. Oh, it's going to be one of those this morning. When you're not following the law, you're really not following God, because God had ordained these laws in governments. All right? Hallelujah. Whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God. And look what it says. And they that resist shall receive to themselves what? Damnation. Whenever somebody resists government and resists law and be disobedient, God says, I'm going to judge you for that. I'm going to judge you for that. And if you're not saved, it could be a reason why you go to hell. And if you are saved, amen, he don't judge us and damn us to hell. But he's going to chasten us when we don't obey the law. He's going to correct us when we don't. Oh, y'all got to hear me up in here. Somebody say, take your time, Pastor. Take your time, Pastor. Woo, it might not be what I want, but it's what I need. Woo! All right? He says, when you resist that power, you shall receive damnation, judgment, correction, chastening. So as Christians, we must do our best to obey the law. Now, saints, listen to me. I realize that none of us are perfect in here. And there are times, amen, where we have slip-ups and mess-ups, or we go through seasons, amen, where we might not be obeying the law to the best of our ability, amen. But anytime you find yourself in that position, you got to quickly shake back and get in, do all you can to get back in accordance with the laws of the land. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Now listen, I didn't make this up. You was reading Romans 13:1 with me. You see what I'm saying? And if I had to bring it to you in the NLT, amen, and the other translations, it would be worse than this. But let's just wait, let's just wait, let's just keep on going. All right? It's been my experience, amen, being part of the legal field, amen, my brother in law enforcement, that sometimes the most notorious lawbreakers are so-called Christians. Ooh, and when you're putting the cuffs on them, they're quoting the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? They stand in front of court, quoting the scripture to the judge. Some of the most notorious Christians, some of the most notorious lawbreakers are Christians. And it's because we don't have a proper understanding of scripture. We don't have a proper understanding of the word of God. I'm going to help you this morning. Amen. Pastor, how are Christians, amen, breaking the law? And let me just say this, all right? As the world watch us be disobedient to the laws of the land, as officers come, amen, and check our vehicles and arrest us for different things, As I'm in court with Judge Saloom or Judge Bouillon or Edwards or any of the judges, and we watch somebody that's a notorious lawbreaker, don't show up for their court, always have a warrant on them, not paying their child support. Oh, Lord, let me just, Lord. As we sit from where we are and we watch that, and they come up and want to associate, quote some scripture, and won't tell somebody about God? Listen, I done been in the back rooms, man. You know what unbelievers say about Christians like that? They got a word for it. You're a hypocrite, dog. And if that's Christianity, I don't want nothing. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord, I'm back there too. Now hold up, Judge. That's not how all Christians look. You know? But let's talk about it. All right? Put your steel-toe boots on, your hard hat, and let's just talk about some of the laws that Christians have been known to break. Let's start off when we get in our car. All right? We close the door, we start the car. And some Christians just put in reverse and roll. But the law of the land say, click it. Or ticket. You know what I'm saying? So here we got Christians not wearing their seatbelts. Now it don't cost you nothing to wear your seatbelt. And you need to understand, if the law is on the book, God ordained it. I'm going to give you some exceptions in a second, but with the law is on the book and God ordained it, listen, go ahead and click it. Because when unbelievers watch you get in the car, they're looking at that. And they can look at you and say, well, I'm better than them because they ain't even following the laws. Follow the laws, saints. And not only do you click it for yourself, hey, God. But I've been riding, amen, and see Christians and look through the window and Christian children running from the back seat to the front seat to the front. And I'm not judging you because, listen, I'm not going to sit here and act like that I ain't never been without a car seat before and in emergency situations I got to move. I'm not saying that. But that should not be a way of life for us. We know that the law say that they got to be in a car seat, that they got to be clicked up. And the law not doing it, amen, to make it inconvenient for us. The law doing it to save our children. Anybody hear me up in here? You see, when we understand authority, it's when you're out from under the umbrella of authority that things happen. And if you don't click it, if you don't put your children in, I might be saving somebody's life up here this morning. Hey, if you don't follow that, amen, if an accident happened, who you going to look to? How you going to blame God when God said, I put it on the books to save your life and to save your child's life? But you chose to do something better because you thought you knew better. So click it, y'all, or tick it. Not only that, listen, I'm about to convict even myself up in here. Hagar! They got them little white signs written in black letters. And they got two words on that thing. One word starts with S, the other word starts with L. And it's not a suggestion. No. That thing say speed limit. Oh, speed limit. All right? And we got Christians, man. Listen, I'm telling you, listen, I'm a work in progress myself. When me and my wife went over the word, she said, oh, goodness. But we must do the best we can, Christians, to obey the laws of the land. Go ahead, lock it in and drive that speed limit. You know what I'm saying? I remember me, Brian, and Kelly racing from Texas one time. You understand what I'm saying? Now, they was going a lot faster than me, but I ain't condemning them. Now, I'm just joking. But you know what? I was convicted about that. Because the law of the land, we got to try to follow that thing. Because if we going, hallelujah, 90 in a 70 when that cop stop us, you think he looking at us and you think that's a good witness? We not only endangering ourselves, but we could be endangering other people on the road, families on the road. You understand what I'm saying? We hit a call like that, amen, then what we got to say? All right? Hey, somebody say out your in here. Yeah. Here's another thing, man. This one that got me when I first got saved. You see, in the hood, I mean, we used to stop by the store and stuff, and you get your little bag of chips, or you stop to, you know what I'm saying, some food restaurant, you know, and you're eating in your car. But when you finish, you don't want that junk in your car. I just cleaned my car, I'm all my tires, I got my little pine tree, and you know, everything's smelling good. So when I finish with them bag of chips, guess what we always learn to do with it? But you know what the law of the land said? Don't litter, man. And tree, listen, I was riding one day. I was saved. And I did that, and it may be the reason why the hood's so dirty. Yeah. Let me just stop right there. Because you ride on the other side of towns and it's not that dirty, but you come to the Negro neighborhood and we got mattress on the side of the road, trash on the side of the road, because we don't obey. Look at Jira like, yep. Because we don't obey the laws of the land. Listen, and when we obey the laws of the land, our neighborhood's going to look good again. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to follow the laws of the land, even subdivision rules we're going to follow. Amen. Because we know that's authority as well. But let's stay on it. So I'm riding, I'm chilling. I don't know what it was. A bag of Lay's barbecue sour cream, or it might have been some Doritos Cool Ranch. I don't know. But G-Money, we rolling. You know how we used to roll in the van. You got them 12s back there kicking. We eating. You understand what I'm saying? I try to do that after I was saved. Oh, holy ghost, jump on you. I'm like, Lord, I just threw a bag out. It wasn't even big bag, quarter size bag. What? Holy Ghost, look, slay you. Make you want to park and go pick that thing back up. You know what I'm saying? Now, Lord, now I'm picking up other people's stuff. Lord, I didn't even throw that down. Oh, Lord, I won't pick that up. You know what I'm saying? Listen. Nah, don't litter. Obey the law of the land. You see, when you know the personality of your God, and how ordered he is, and how he like everything pristine and clean. You think God would want us junking up stuff and throwing stuff out the window? Empty bottles and stuff? You think when you get to heaven, you're going to be littering on the streets of gold? Nah. So we got to practice now for when we get to glory. Amen? Come on, give God some glory. All right, running red lights? Ooh. Some of y'all, man, got a yearbook with them camera lights, man. They got pictures of you. We could see your progression. We could see your natural hair progression from the ticket you get. That's when I had a fro. I put my piece in that day. We We see brothers up in there. That was high school. That was college. Yeah, I had my tux on. That was prom. That was prom. Well, the answer is stop running them and obey the laws of the land. You see? Oh, let me get it. There's another one. Man, I would stop, man. Now, listen, I'm a lawyer, man. I'm a pastor, you know. But things get busy, all right? And then people send you that little stuff in the mail about your registration and you see your inspection and you're like, I'm going to get it. And you're really, you've been saying you're going to get it since 13 and now it's 15. And so, man, listen, one of my boys stopped me, a cop. He pulled me over. And I mean, everything was expired. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about inspection, vehicle registration. I think my license was expired. Look, I'm drinking a soda that got expired on it. Everything expired. I'm just playing. But you know what I'm saying? So my boss stopped me, Frank. And when I got a call, he said, "That's you?" I said, "Yeah." "Yeah, that's me. What you stopped me for?" He said, "Man, when you pass your vehicle inspection." He said, "Now you know better than that." And look, And then he started walking around my car. I'm like, "Hey, well, what the hell's it?" He said, "Mr. Tebow." He said, "Man, did you know that?" "Yeah, I knew you. Yeah, you know, not only your vehicle, but your registration." And it convicted me, man. And here I am, man. I'm a Christian, man. I'm a pastor, man. I'm trying to show a good example. And his brother that don't know the Lord got something he could say about me that he living better than me in an area of his life because I'm too lazy to just ride by there by them people and them just to put a stick on my car. You know what I'm saying? We obey the laws of the land, man. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I'm not done yet. They clapping like, "Ooh, phew. Thank you, Lord." Oh, yeah, that riding with no insurance? Man, what's wrong with you, man? You know? Well, Pastor, I just forgets to pay it. Get that stuff automatically debited out your account, man. Now you're a minister, you're a deacon, people passing, they putting that big yellow thing on the back of your car, got your car, you know, up. And pay that insurance, man. Get them flags off your license, man. Fix that tail light, that headlight. You know? Nobody's perfect, y'all. But as Christians, we got to strive for perfection. And when we get out of the realms of law, we got to do our best to get back in accordance with it. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I love what 1 Peter says in 2 and verse 13. Look what he says. Submit yourselves to what? Every ordinance of man. Why? Why does he tell us that? For the Lord's sake. It's not for your name, no. It's not your reputation that's on the line. It is the Lord's name, and it is the Lord's reputation that's on the line. We don't obey the law, amen, because all the time we feel like it. We obey it, y'all, because it's a good witness. We want to be the best citizens, the best, amen, law-abiding people that we can be. So listen, the Bible says, for the sake of the Lord. Look what he says. Whether it be unto the king. We don't have a king in America, but we have a president, so we obey our president. Well, I don't like him. I didn't vote for him. So what? This wasn't written when we had good, when they had good kings and good. These people, it was written when people was killing the church. This was in the days of Nero. And Peter and Paul still saying, obey him. And you got a problem obeying Obama, obeying Bush. Peter writing that when they chopping Christians' necks off. It don't matter how they acting. We obey them. Not because of them. We obey them because God told us to obey them. Amen? He says unto governors. You see what I'm saying? Kings, governors. And then he says, as unto them that are sent by him. Woo! So I not only have to obey the king, the president, the governor, but also those who are sent by him. So who's that? Police officers? Marshals? Sheriffs? Yes, park rangers? You? We obey them. What you tripping for when they stop you? They got the right to stop you. You tripping, cutting up. You done forgot what color you is. You're going to get shot. You better be respectful. You see? I'm trying to protect you here. They sent for the punishment of evildoers. But if you do right, for the praise of them that do well. Verse 15, for so is the will of God to obey these laws, y'all, that with well-doing, by doing right, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. When we don't obey the law, we give them something to talk about. Don't give them nothing to talk about, man. Be the best that you can be, man. Come on, give God some glory, amen. You see, I love this. I can't leave 16 and 17, but let me just go through that right quick. Look what he says. He says in 16, amen, as free, hallelujah, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Because the argument was, we free from the laws of men. We could do whatever we want, but they was using that freedom, amen, to do malicious things. No. You're not free like that, friend. You obey the law of the land. He says, amen, in verse 17, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. That's our fellow Christians. Fear God. And do what else? Honor the king. So this is even deeper, cool? We not only supposed to obey the laws of the land and obey police officers and this stuff that when they stop us, but the Bible say just don't obey them. The Bible say honor. Honor. I done met some Hebrews, man. Listen, they do everything but honor authority. They do everything. As soon as you stop them, oh, what? What's going on, man? You don't want to cut up. That's not the Christian way of doing things. That's when you was lost, man. You see, a soft answer turns away wrath. And you can catch more bees with honey than you can with vinegar. Put a smile on your face, man. Let that man stop you. If he want to give you a ticket, let him give you a ticket. And tell him, have a blessed day. You understand what I'm saying? That ain't no big deal for you. Jehovah Jireh, you'll provide. He's going to pay for that ticket. You never know what God's doing. You might be getting that ticket, amen, so that the aroma of Christ can rub off on you, on him, and that man gets saved just by your behavior. You ain't even got a witness and share the gospel. You just being a good person and saying, yes, sir, no, sir, and he gave you that ticket and you're so cordial. That ball before it's over, what church you go to? Now, you done won that man by him giving you a ticket, and if it's that big a deal, I pay you a ticket. It don't, listen, it's for the souls of men here. But we so short-sighted, we don't know what God up to. We won't fuss and argue. Nah, obey. Honor. And not just when it's easy. Even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. Even when they get out the car bucking on you. Don't buck back. Don't buck back. You see, because if you love those that love you, what reward have you? For even the sinners and the publicans do the same. But if you love those that hate you, that despitefully use you, that talk about you, that then you're going to be children of your heavenly Father that make his sun to rise, hallelujah, on the just and the unjust, his rain to fall on the wicked and the good. Listen, anybody could be nice to somebody that's nice to them. But it's the Christians that can do above and beyond that. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Put them to silence. But it's not just traffic laws. I can't stop now. You got to obey the law, man. What you saying, Pastor? Well, when it come tax time. Baby, you got to file your taxes, baby. You ain't filed your taxes since you worked to Mr. Gaddis in 1983. People think that's your only job, man. What is wrong with you? File your taxes, man. It's the law of the land. And when you file your taxes, stop claiming all them children. All right? You don't know them children. Oh, that's against the law. That's fraud. Obey the laws of the land. And after you file your taxes, you be honest with what you make. All right? To the best of your ability. I'm talking about you get close to the line as you can. You know? Not only that, when the money come in, pay your taxes. You see? Yeah. Listen, we're going to try to hit everybody before we done. All right? Let's talk about copyright laws in music and video. All right? Now, some of y'all still bootlegging out there. All right? You buying CDs and DVDs on the street, leaving the house at night, doing that on the side and on the cool. Listen, if you got a hide to do it, it's a sign that it's not right. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? All I'm saying is this. Number one, most of the movies we watch ain't good for us anyway. That's number one. Number two, if you go get your movie, go ahead, get your movie and pay the right car. Don't be stopping by that man and getting your old movie. Don't have no label on it, written with a mark on. You know what I'm saying? That boy sitting in the movie videotaping that. Boy, it's a good movie, huh? Yeah. That's that bootleg. It's against the law. Same thing with CDs as well. What you can do like Brother Carl. You could do mixtapes. That's legal. That's copyright. You see what I'm saying? Mixed CDs. Or Minister Phil would revive. So you could do that. But to copy a whole artist CD front to cover and be selling that on your own, that's not obeying the laws of the land. That's a bad witness. And listen to me. Listen to me good, Christian. Anytime you don't obey the law, I need you to see it now. You remove yourself from the umbrella of protection. You see, while you're doing what God tells you to do, you're under the umbrella and you can't be touched. When you remove yourself, then they can touch you. God's mercy sometimes keeps us outside of the umbrella. He does. But he don't have to. We got a promise when we follow the law that he gonna keep us. You know? Keep going, Pastor. Don't stop now. Hallelujah. You see? What else, Pastor? All right. Let me see. Stop selling drugs. Stop selling drugs. We got a lot of Christian men and women, amen, come to church. You know, might not be this church, I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of them, I heard one brother testimony, man, he used to hustle big time. And I'm talking about right after service, he'd go hit the street, turn a few, flip a few corners, sell what he got to sell right after church. You know? And some of them justifying it, saying, man, I got to feed my family, or, man, I'm going to put something in the tithe, you know? Nah, dog. And you could tell that I'm not about no money, because if I was about some money, amen, I'd be trying to get every drug dealer here. Go ahead, hustle. Do what you got to do. But no, I love my people too much for them to see them locked up for 20, 30, 40 years over a little piece of paper that's really not worth nothing. Listen to me good, man. If you're selling drugs and you think you're a Christian, number one, you may not be a Christian at all. If you're not convicted by the selling of the drugs, you're breaking law. Number two, if you are a Christian, you are a very baby Christian at that. You know? And I hear them, man. You see, we would rather obey God and be broke than obey God for a car or a little apartment or a little house. That's what we would rather. You see what I'm saying? And listen, I done talked to hustlers, man. Them boys quote all kind of scripture. Know the Bible backwards and forwards. You know what I'm saying? Oh, no, dog. No, you're not saved. You're not saved. Because you're not obeying the laws of the land, my friend. Nah. You come out of jail, I know you got a record, so what? Listen, you tell God, God, I'm going to honor you, and I'm going to honor the laws of men. And guess what? I'm going to get me a little job. It ain't going to pay me much, but I'm doing it for you, Lord God. And I'm going to work that little job. And God going to honor you, because the Bible says promotion don't come from the east or from the west or from the south. Promotion come from the Lord. And there you go working that little job, and God lifting you up. And now you're supervising. You're overseeing. Now you can afford the house the right way. You ain't got to put it in nobody's name that's going to jack you later. No car in nobody's name that's going to take it later. Nah, it's in your name. You can go to the bank and get a loan. You ain't got to wash no money, hide nothing. Listen, man, the blessing of the Lord make it rich and added no sorrow. You want? It take more time, right? It does take time. But God need that time to prepare you for wealth. You see what I'm saying? Fast money ain't good, man. And breaking the law, selling that drug, I don't care if it's legal, illegal. I don't care if you're selling your prescription pills out your house, selling your mama pills to get your little lunch money. That's against the law, and it's sin in the eyes of God. Come on, give God some glory. Not only selling drugs, but buying drugs. That's against the law, dog. You got a lot of brothers in the pastor. It's natural. It's natural, but it's against the law. You understand what I'm saying? You shouldn't be smoking it. And when they make it legal, you still can't smoke it, because the Lord say, I shall not be brought under the power or mastered by any. He don't want us to be addicted to nothing but him in the name of Jesus. There's no place for drugs in the Christian life. No place. God tells us he ain't giving us a spirit of fear, but a power of love. And what does he want? A sound mind. God don't want a mind that's open to all kind of spirits and demons on drugs. That's not the Christian way. If you're addicted on drugs, it's very highly possible that you don't have it yet. Or if you have it, amen, you're a baby Christian at best. You see? And you got to come off of that. He put those laws, hallelujah, on the books to help us, to guide us, to show us what we can and what we cannot do. Hallelujah. I got another one here. I got another one. If you didn't receive no damages in the flood, why in the world are you standing in them lines trying to get your little food stamp card, little FEMA, little Red Cross? You telling all your children, put on wet shoes, put on wet shoes. They up in there like the Gibeonites. They up in there like old clothes and everything. Look, that's tight. No, we ain't cutting our hair, we ain't shaving nothing. You ain't got no water in your house. Only water you got in your house is when you spill that glass of water that was on the table. That's the only water you got. Whole north side mostly was saved, but you're going to be in that line waiting all day. You could have been cutting somebody's grass. You could have been working, amen. Hallelujah. By the sweat of your brow, you could have got that money yourself for that food. But there you go looking for a handout. Looking for a handout. That's the problem with Negroes, yeah. Negroes want something for free. They want something for free. I heard one prophetess say, amen, instead of going to the promised land where they could sow themselves and get a land formed with milk and honey, they looking back saying, what about the watermelons we used to get for free in Egypt? They want watermelons, amen, and cheap food. When they can go out and the blessings of Abraham is upon them, you could be eating steak and shrimp and filet mignon, but you trying to get some thrifty off a food stamp. Oh, God, have what in the world is wrong with you? Well, Pastor, tripping. Yeah, I'm tripping. Don't go over there. And I might ride by there to see if some of y'all up in there. And I'm a cap you. That boy ain't got no flood. That's fraud, man. That's fraud. Listen to me good. How you think you're going to be blessed like that? You see what God want to know before he bless you? He want to know if you have the money or if the money have you. All right? He not going to bless you if the money have you, no. How can you tell if the money have me? When you're going to break the law and disobey for the money have you. The money owns you. No man can serve two masters. Either you're going to hate the one or hate the other. When you break God's law and the laws of man for money, money got you, dog. And you looking at God, God bless me. God said, you can't handle what you already have. It already own you. If I give it to you, listen, where you going to be? I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to destroy you if I give it to you. So what we do, we show God, God, I love you more than money. God over money. I love you more than money. I'm not going to lie for money. I'm not going to cheat for money. I'm going to be faithful with the little money that I have. And then God's going to say, now you're ready, my child. Now you're ready, my son. Hey, God, before Abraham got his blessings, amen, Abraham went through many tests. Abraham could have been blessed by the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. Then they would have all been talking about how he got his wealth and stuff. Abraham said, nah, the Lord is my reward. The Lord is my portion. Then you're going to say, you bless me. Abraham said, nah, I'm not into it just to have the money to have the money. Some of y'all want the money regardless how the money come. You don't care who bless you. And Abraham was, nah, I'm going to get it when God give it to me. The devil, I'm not letting the devil bless me. And that's what Jesus was saying. I give you all the king. I don't want nothing from you, devil. I don't want nothing from you. Because I care where the blessing come from. I care where the money come from. Negroes always want something for free. Got to come out of that, man. Like we talked about that envy, this is another one. We could make a book, Negro Problems. You understand what I'm saying? Subtitle, The Struggle is Real. You understand what I'm saying? Stop looking for this, man. We can't charge y'all nothing around you. Y'all don't want to pay for books. You don't want to pay for tuition. You don't want to pay for... God bless the truth. Somebody sneeze up in here. You don't want to pay for nothing. Thank God salvation is free. None of y'all would be saved. Don't want to pay for nothing. I got to get going. We got to come out of that, man. Pay your way, man. Pay your way, man. Oh, the melons of Egypt, the leeks. No, get your own land. Sow, reap. Be blessed. Don't be a slave in Egypt for free. Be a king and a queen in Israel in the promised land with a little sweater of your brow. God. He tell us, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Look at Romans 13. Boy, we got to go yet. Y'all playing around? Look, we're going to move faster through it. For rulers are not a terror to good works. If you do right, usually, it's wicked days, but usually when you do right, everything should go correct. You know, usually. Now, you know the devil and the details, and sometimes things happen like these shootings that's been going on, but that's not the rule. That's the exception. All right? So you don't, and you don't say, I'm not going to do right. No. Keep doing right. Rulers are not a terror usually to those who do good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power of the government? You don't want to be afraid of the government? Do right, Paul's saying. Do that which is good. And thou shalt have praise of the same. Let's keep going. Verse 4. Look what he says. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Did you know that government is a minister? Yeah, they be tripping on me. I'm a minister. No. Government is a minister too. What's a minister? A servant. And if the power is of God and God ordaining power, he ordained the government. And what the government job is? To serve God. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. That's why the police have when they call protect and serve. They're the ministers of God. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. This verse is telling us that not only is government a servant to do us good, to promote order and peace and security and safety, but the government is also a servant of God to punish evildoers. That's what it's saying right here. Y'all see it? It says, hallelujah, if you're doing evil, be afraid. For what? For he beareth not the sword in vain. God gave government a sword. He gave government a right to punish evildoers. And that punishment could be everything when you break the law, giving you a ticket, all the way to making you do some time in jail, all the way to capital punishment. And a lot of people, amen, don't understand that the Bible has given government even authority to take life away when people are not doing right. That's capital punishment. That's biblical. And if anybody know their Bible, you got to understand. God say, if any, let's just keep going. All right. God gave it to him. You know? Hallelujah. Look what he says. For he's the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Look at verse 5. Let's just wrap it up. Wherefore ye must needs be subject. You got to obey. Why? For wrath, because you're going to get punished. But not only for wrath's sake, but also for your own conscience sake. You're going to feel better when you don't throw the bag out the window, when you put your seatbelt on, when you're not riding dirty. You're a Christian, you're still riding dirty. Inspection, you know what I'm saying? Registration. Nah, you're going to feel better for conscience sake. Look at verse 6. Come on, keep going, Pastor. For this cause pay ye tribute. This is the reason why you pay taxes, the Bible says. To keep government in operation, to pay all the government officials, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Now, this is interesting. Parker, check this out. Now, I'm a minister, and the government is a minister. And God said we pay taxes to the government so that all the government people can get paid. Now, nobody got a problem when the government people get paid. But they got a problem when me, a minister, or just like the government dude, when I get paid. No. Listen. We both ministers and servants of God. Obama get paid, Omar get paid. You understand what I'm saying? Saloom get paid, Omar get paid. You see, he said that's the reason why you pay tribute, you pay taxes, so that you could pay the people that God used to bless you. That's why we pay taxes. Let's look at the next verse. Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying? They tripping. I can't wait till they ask me that question on TV. Because that's what they like to do. Well, you know, you get paid for, yeah, you get paid for what you do. Huh, bro? Omar? Huh, bro? He loved when I do that. 13:7. Render therefore to all their dues. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to them, tribute. Pay taxes when you need to pay taxes. Custom to them, custom to them. Custom to custom. Fear to whom fear. And that thing go again. Honor to whom honor. We got to learn how to deal with government. How to deal with power. It's a part of our Christianity. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Pastor, you was in my business. My inspection sick or bad? Nah. We're going to see when I get out there in that parking lot. Point number two, whether it be right. And if we got to stop at point number two, we're just going to stop. But can we just continue cruising here for a second? All right? Point number two, whether it be right. But Peter and John, in verse 19, answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. All right? We're coming to something now, Ms. Karen. Here we go. So the Bible says that they gave Peter and John a command. And under normal circumstances, every command given by men in government, every ordinance, every law, has to be obeyed. But there is one exception. There is one exception. Yeah. We got to obey the law, but there is an exception. When the laws of men come into conflict with the laws of God, the laws of men are null and void. Anybody hear me up in here? It's kind of like, amen, our republic, America. We have state laws and we have federal laws. Huh, big brother? And when a state law come into conflict with a federal law, the federal law, amen, has precedence over the state law. You understand what I'm saying? Anybody hear me up in here? Holler if you hear me. Say amen if you hear me. So if Louisiana says something, but America says something, the bigger government wins and rules, all right? I won't tell you there's a bigger government than Lafayette Consolidated Government. I won't tell you there's a bigger government, amen, than Louisiana, amen? I won't tell you there's a bigger government than the United States of America. I won't tell you there's a bigger government than the United Nations and NATO, amen? I won't tell you there's a bigger government, hallelujah, than all the governments in the planet is the government of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is the government of the high court of heaven, all right? So we obey the laws and we be great citizens up until the time the law conflicts with the law of Almighty God. And then, my friend, we conduct ourselves in a respectable manner, but our course of action is none other than civil disobedience. We will not obey man rather than our God. You see, what we have here is that God had given them a direct commandment to go and spread the gospel. He told them, follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. He told us that we would be ambassadors for Christ, going out to the lost men, amen, beseeching them to be reconciled unto God. He told us in Matthew 28, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. This is the commission of the church. We're supposed to go. And while all of us have different little sections that we go to, we got to go and spread the word. You see what I'm saying? Well, here we are in Acts. And in verse, hallelujah, 18, look what they tell Peter and John. They tell them, don't speak in the name no more. Don't teach in the name no more. You see the conflict? God said one thing, and man said another. Ooh, Peter, what you gonna do? You see, in the court of law, amen, when big cases come up, we say that during those cases, it's an opportunity for the court to set a precedent. Meaning that it is a question of law that has never come up before, but we need a clear judicial statement on it. We declare it as so in law school, the court making what we call jurisprudence, amen. And the way that it works is that, amen, this situation right here was the church making jurisprudence. It was the first time, amen, in the New Testament, I'm going to show you some Old Testament examples. It was the first time in the New Testament that the church had been told to stop something that God told it to do. Peter was at the crossroads, and it was going to determine the history of the church. Whether Peter was going to say, okay, we're going to stop speaking his name in public. Or Peter say, we're going to obey God rather than man. And I'm telling you here, Peter made the right decision. You know, Peter made the right decision. I love what John MacArthur said. John MacArthur said, in this text, the church had to be commanded to be quiet. In our day, the church got to be commanded to say something. Woo! Woo! All right, all right, all right. So Peter, man, Peter, look, look, look. All right, here we are, here we are. All right, all right. Now, here's a caveat. To disobey in civil disobedience, you got to have a clear commandment from God. You can't come here saying, Pastor, the Spirit told me not to wear my seatbelt. So I'm not wearing my seatbelt. The devil is a liar. All right, you got to have a clear written command from God. Because them Christians slick, yeah, Miss Suzanne. Them Christians slick. Them boy going to say, I had a dream that I can go as fast as I want on ambassador. Boy, you better have a clear commandment, boy. Written down where we could look at and see. All right? That's the only way you could disobey. Because some people just naturally rebellious. You see? But when you have a clear commandment, the commandment of God takes precedence. Look at Acts 5:29. Look what Peter says. He say, we ought to obey God rather than man. The NLT says it like this, and I love it. It's a little bit better translation on that ought. It says, we what? We must obey God rather than man. You see? That's what Peter is saying in verse 19, saints. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. I have that verse 19 in the NLT of what Peter is saying. He said, but Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? Isn't that something, y'all? We cannot listen to weak men, fallible men, creatures, subjects, more than we listen to the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, all-wise, all-powerful, holy God. He's the creator. He's the judge of all the earth. We're going to listen to men, but it is him that we stand in front of at the end of our days to determine whether we go to heaven or hell. Let me tell you something. I ain't listening to no man. I'm listening to God. Come on, give God some glory. Woo! Stick with me here. The Spirit telling me take my time. We need this. We need this. Stay with me. Lock in. We need this. Let me give you some examples of what we call civil disobedience. Civil disobedience is a refusal to comply with earth's laws to go against heaven's laws. And listen, we did this before in history. When we were in Egypt, in the book of Exodus, amen, chapter 1, verse 15, look what happened. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the other one was, I don't want to say poor, but that's what it sounds like, huh? Poor, all right. That's a bad name, man, poor. Let's see verse 17 and verse 16. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, a birthing stool, they didn't lay down to give birth, they kind of squatted. If it be a son, then ye shall kill him. They still after our sons today. Locked up on drugs, they still after our sons today. But we're going to get our sons. The edict of Egypt still survives. But if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. Put guns in the neighborhood, drugs in the neighborhood. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. A society without the male, without the men, it can't last long and it can't be solid. Because the women can't do nothing with them boys. They can't raise them boys by themselves. They can't raise them boys. They can't raise them boys. Boys act different when a man is in the room. It takes a woman a lot of energy to deal with a boy. I'm looking for a reason to deal with a boy. That's how a man acts. I want to grab him. Oh, I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. You just sneezed. I'm sorry. No, I want to. I was made for this. But you take the men hunt, you destroy. Let the daughters live. Verse 17. But the midwives feared God. They had a command from government, from the king. But the midwives feared God. Because God told him from the very beginning, don't shed the blood of man. Don't abort no baby. Don't kill. He told him that since the days of Noah. We got a commandment of God and a commandment of man. The midwives chose to obey God. They feared God and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the men children alive. Somebody say alive. Yeah. Civil disobedience in the Old Testament. Pastor, you got another example? We hungry. I got another one for you. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, the king gave a decree that nobody could pray. Nobody could pray. You can't pray. Don't that sound like our times? Daniel in chapter 6, verse 10. Look what he says. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, when he knew that the law was signed, what did Daniel do? He went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Even though the law was written, Daniel said, forget the law. I was praying before the law, and I'm going to be praying after the law, because the Lord and his word tells us that we should pray and faint not, pray without ceasing. You can tell me not to pray. I don't care what you say. I got a higher law to appeal to, a higher court that can hear my cry, sign my petition. I'm going to pray. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, but the Lord's angel shut the mouth of lions. Because Daniel did the right thing to obey God. Pastor, you got another example? How about Shadrach, Meshach, and a big Negro? That's that boy's real name, a big Negro. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what happened to them? Nebuchadnezzar made a statue, a golden image. And he told them, boys, he said, listen, when you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psalter, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you got to fall down wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and you got to worship the image. And the Bible tells us that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego was out there, and they heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psalter, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, and everybody else fell down to worship the image, but there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. While everybody else was down, they stood up for Almighty God. They had a clear word from God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Thou shalt have no other God beside me. And the law of man came in conflict with the law of God, and civil disobedience was due. And the Bible tells us that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was taken before Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar played the music. What did he play? The cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psalter, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, and gave them an opportunity to fall down. He says, if y'all don't, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. At the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalter, dulcimer, all kinds of music. Y'all see, I love to say that. Did not fall down to worship again. And they told him in Daniel 3:17, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. We're not obeying you, because he can deliver us. In verse 18, but even if he don't, if not. Now that's when you know you got something right here. That's when you know you got something. When you say, my God gonna come to my rescue, but even if he don't. I'm still not bending, bowing to the sackbut, dulcimer, flute, cornet. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship thy golden image which thou hast set up. Or the examples would be prophets like Amos, Jeremiah, Elijah, John the Baptist, Paul, Peter, and John here. All told, amen, not to prophesy. Prophesy unto us peace. Prophesy unto us smooth things. Don't come and give us the word of the Lord. Listen to me. We would rather obey God than obey man. We would rather die standing than die laying down. Amen. Obeying some man and his laws. And today, Miss Michelle, it ain't no different than today. They still issuing laws today to try to get us not to obey our God. They tell us, amen, at our schools and at those football games at the schools, they say we can't pray. And some of them even so slick, they say you can't pray in the name of Jesus so everybody else could pray in Allah and everything else, but we can't say the name of Jesus. I don't care what y'all say. At my graduation, at my game, I want to give glory to God. Take me to jail if you got to. We must obey God rather than man. We're going to pray. We're going to be like Daniel. We're going to be like Daniel. You know what I'm saying? You go some places and they tell you that you can't witness. You can't spread the gospel. In fact, they're doing it in America in our schools. You can't proselytize. They're doing it in Russia. Amen. And I usually love Russia. But that law they just put in that book. Amen. About they can't evangelize in Russia. Amen. Listen, we have a law. We have a commandment of God to spread the gospel. We must obey God rather than man. Come on, give God some glory. There's even something coming down the pike, amen, that they're trying to even curtail the sermon material for preachers. They don't want us to preach against the sins of this age. They're trying to make our sermons hate speech. If we talk about homosexuality or abortion or fornication and adultery like we do, they're thinking about snatching churches, nonprofit status, taking away their 501c3s, and churches can't really exist too much when they got used to all of those 501c3 and government grants. But us at Philly, we not 501c3. You can take what you want, say what you want. We going to preach it. We going to say it. We going to stand on the truth. Because we will obey God rather than man. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. Yeah. And if they take me downtown, just put another deacon or minister up and let them preach the word of God. And when they pick them up, put another one up. And they pick them up, put another one up. And by time we done, we would have filled the LPCC up. We must obey our God. Civil disobedience. Yes. Come on, y'all sit down. Y'all sit down. Y'all try. Y'all want y'all something else, yeah, boy. You see, Monroe, they getting me hype up in here, Monroe. Yeah. That's the kind of things they doing. And listen, it's all over the world, man. In all the countries of the world, they're trying to outlaw certain things. Can't have a Bible here. Can't do this. Can't do that. Nah. As Christians, when we run into laws that go against our God, then we become Bible smugglers. You understand what I'm saying? Then we have church underground. Amen. Because it's civil disobedience. But listen. Let me tell you something else about this. It's not only government that's trying to tell us to disobey our God. No. But humankind do it to one another. You got people in your life trying not to allow you to obey God like you know you was born to do. All right? And every time they ask you that, you come and a friend here and you got the law of God. You know the law of God. You know right from wrong. You've been raised as a child in the church. Your daddy was saving a believer. And you're at this point, and here they are. And they come with these invitations. And we have to make a decision who we with. Who we rolling with. And I'm going to tell you, to roll with God is blessed. To roll with God is provision. To roll with God is protection. To roll with God is abundant life. Them friends that's offering you, they can't do nothing for you, man. Leave you broke, busted on the side of the road. But here they go, man. You know what I'm saying? Your friend come up, tell you, your little boo, look, we could shack up. You know, we could live together. It ain't no big deal. Woman of God, he coming at you like that. Tell that boy straight up, man. Negro, please, I'm going to obey God rather than man. We're not shacking up. We're not living together like that. That's the appearance of evil. You know? They come tell you, man, and they tell you, listen, we don't have to be married. We can just experiment. We could just, you know what I'm saying? You tell that man, nah. You know what I'm saying? You get nothing until I get a ring. You with me so far? You with me? Because I'm going to obey God rather than man. And woman of God, listen, you ain't going to never get married. You ain't gonna never get married. If you're giving that boy the milk and he don't have to buy the cow, you ain't gonna never get married. He getting all of you for free with no commitment. You turn the faucet off. You turn the faucet. That boy gonna make a ring. He gonna make a ring. You turn that faucet off for a month. Boy gonna be in church with you. You see? What else, Pastor? Take your time. You know? Take your time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They gonna come tell you while you're in the stores. You're married? You're happily married? You know? Won't flirt, won't try to get with you and all that. You gotta obey. You got to obey God rather than man. You know? That's crazy. My little wife in Walmart is raining. The dude come up to, I hope he's not in here. You say, ooh, baby, your toes going to get wet? I ain't forgot that, Chantel, when he told you that. You see what I'm saying? And it's gonna come like that. They're gonna try to get you to mess up on your husband or mess up on your wife. And at that crossroad, in the valley of decision, we got a decision to obey man or to obey God. They're gonna come to us. You could be a boy or a girl. You could be a boy today and a girl tomorrow. You could be a burl, a boy and a girl. A guy. You could be whatever you want, you know. And so they're going to come at you like that. And that's what TV and media and society is, just man telling you things. And right here, right now, listen, man, and it's not me. I'm just a spokesman of the Most High. And the Most High is pleading with you today. Don't listen to them voices. Don't listen to them dead heads, them dead beats. God's saying today, listen to me. I got so much for you. Every time you listen to them, you're going further and further away from my blessings. Obey God rather than man. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. It's civil disobedience, saints. And listen, we're going to have to stop right there. I done got excited in point number one and point number two. I'm sweating up in here, y'all. You know, that's that work, man. But we want to do it so we could be better Christians. You know? If you're here today and you find yourself worried about what people say, and you're always going with man instead of God, it could be a sign that you don't know him and you're not saved. And this morning you could be saved. Salvation is as easy as ABC. You admit that you're a sinner. And the Bible tells us clearly, amen. In the Psalms it says, Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who would stand? If God had to take a ledger and mark all of our sins, which he does, who would stand? None of us. Because we've all lied before. We've all sinned before. We've all sinned and fallen short of his glory. But the good news is that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. All those marks against you, all the people that you been with, lied to, robbed, jacked, stole from, killed, all those marks against you can all be erased with one swoop today. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. We admit, but we believe. Our responsibility is to believe in his cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection. God says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you can't call unless you believe. We admit we sinners. We believe. We come to this altar and we confess, and God's going to save us. Listen, if you're not saving here today, you can be saved before, amen, the saints take the field at 12 noon. Is that easy? Is that easy? You see? And I'm going to have an altar call. But I'm going to have an altar call also for Christians. You ain't been so good at obeying the laws of the land. And it could be a reason why you got some blockage in the tunnel of blessing. You done raised up money and things more than God. Or maybe you're a Christian and you've been obeying man either through government or your whispers in your friends when you know better with God. You're going to come to this altar too. When the music starts, amen, the altar's going to be open. We're going to pray. And God's going to show up. The altar is open. Let's show our God that He's first. Let's show Him that He's first. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yeah. We're going to do an altar call. We'll ask the Lord to help us to do right, to be right, to walk a straight line as much as we can. We're going to ask Him to help us not to be worried about what people say more than what He says. There's something that's going to ask Him for the very first time to save him. To save him. And God's going to do that. Pray with me right now. Say, God of heaven and earth, I thank you for loving me. I appreciate you for keeping me. I know I've done wrong, and I'm sorry. But I believe that you love me so much that you died for me on the cross. I believe you were buried. And on the third day, I believe you rose. Lord, save me, a sinner. Wash away all my sins. Everything I ever did wrong, wash me clean. And Lord, help me to obey the laws of the land. Help me, Lord, to not be worried about what people say about me. Help me to obey you first and man second. I love you, Lord. Save me. Keep me. Fill me. And use me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory.